This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. Think about the lives we lead in the 21st century. We've got endless basic items that chances are we take for granted. We've got shoes, chairs, cars, processed food, medicine. Bet you can think of a lot more, too. But one evolutionary biologist argues that it is these creature comforts that could ultimately be doing us in. The co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, Carrie Goldberg, is here to help us understand why even the rudimentary aspects of everyday life may be killing us. Carrie, that's more than a bit unnerving. Can you tell us about this thesis?
It may be, Lisa, yes. Our Common Health contributor, Karen Weintraub, covered a talk at the Harvard Museum of Natural History last week by Professor Dan Lieberman, who's a Harvard evolutionary biologist. Karen quoted him as saying, and I quote, "Most of us in this room are probably going to die of a mismatch disease." And it's that mismatch between our evolutionary past and our possibly over-comfy present that is the topic of Professor Lieberman's new book, which is titled The Story of the Human Body, Evolution, Health, and Disease.
All right. Well, here's the source of that quote himself, Daniel Lieberman, joining us by phone right now. Can you tell us, Dan, what a mismatch disease is? And why you say that it's more likely than not that that's going to be our undoing eventually?
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me to talk with you. And I should say that I'm not actually all that gloomy about the current status of the human body, because in actual fact, people are doing better and we're healthier than we ever have in our entire history. But it is true that over the last few centuries, we've had what's called an epidemiological transition. So more people are living longer and they're dying less frequently from infectious diseases. But along with that shift has been an increase in non-infectious, non-communicable diseases, such as diabetes, osteoporosis, cancers, diseases like that. And it turns out that many of these diseases are what we call, as you mentioned, mismatch diseases. Mismatch diseases are diseases that are caused by our bodies being poorly or inadequately adapted to novel environmental conditions. So for example, I'm sitting here in a chair and I'm wearing shoes, but actually, sitting in a chair is not good for me, and I think most people are very aware of the problems of sitting in chairs. But shoes also make your feet weak, and lots of the foods that we eat, they can wreak havoc on our digestive systems. And in fact, it turns out that, for example, heart disease, which kills about a third of Americans, is mostly a preventable disease, and it doesn't occur among hunter-gatherers and people who eat different diets and live different lifestyles.
Okay, and by the way, there are a couple of other conditions that hunter-gatherers did not suffer from that we do. What are a few other examples?
The list is very long. In fact, for example, myopia. Efforts to study myopia among people who live in subsistence populations or hunter-gatherers find that only a few percent, maybe less than 3%, ever get myopia. You know, Crohn's disease, colitis, breast cancer is extremely rare among hunter-gatherers from the best of our data. These are all diseases that are fairly recent in our evolutionary history.
And Dan, this whole idea of an evolutionary mismatch is familiar to a lot of dieters who follow this trendy paleo diet. How does your thinking match or differ from their approach?
Well, I think there's some aspect to the paleo diet, to this paleo fitness movement, which I agree with. There's no question that eating large quantities of cereals and certain kinds of fats, like trans fats, etc., are unhealthy. And there's also no question that we evolved to be athletes and that not being an athletic is actually a serious contributor to many, many, many kinds of disability and illness. On the other hand, I don't totally agree with the paleo diet movement, because they sort of analogize human evolution in a simple way. They sort of think about humans being adapted to being just hunter-gatherers from, say, 50,000 years ago, you'll often read. But that's not true. And furthermore, I think one important thing to realize is that evolution did not adapt us to be healthy. Hunter-gatherers get sick, too. They don't live charmed lives. They have very high mortality rates, especially in infancy. And what natural selection really cares about is how many offspring you have. And so health is really only selected for insofar as it helps you have more offspring.
Uh-huh. But so, Dan, along related lines, I've wondered this a very long time. You would think that hunter-gatherers would also be more attractive and thus have more offspring if they were fit. And yet we seem to be so hardwired not to exercise. Why would that be?
Well, hunter-gatherers never really have a choice not to exercise. So
they didn't call it exercise, though. They called it living.
Living, yeah, surviving.
Yeah, so exercise is a very modern word. Exercise is when you go out and do physical activity because you choose to or you're forced to. But most people were physically active all their lives. Your average female hunter-gatherer, this is a worldwide average, walks 9 kilometers a day. That's about 5 miles. Now, just because the average number of kilometers is 9 kilometers a day doesn't mean that that's the only prescription for health. But we do need to pay attention to how and why our bodies are the way they are. And the fact of the matter is that many systems in our body, for our skeletal systems, our immune systems, our muscle systems, require a certain amount of stress. And by stress, I don't mean things that make you upset, but things that cause the body to work harder. So if you don't, for example, stress your skeletal system when you're young, you don't add enough bone mass to prevent you from getting osteoporosis when you're older.
There is one item, and I don't want to oversimplify this, but there's one item in particular that you say we should avoid if we want to try and combat diabetes, obesity, even ailments like back pain.
And that's sugar.
I wish you hadn't said that.
Well,
I wish it was a different answer.
If there is any evil food out there in our world, it's the abundance of sugar. So the estimates are that a typical person until extremely recently got maybe about 5 to 6 pounds of sugar in a year. But the problem is that we get access to almost 100 pounds of sugar today. We're just not built to tolerate the amount of sugar that we bombard our systems with.
So, Dan, you write in your final chapter that kind of the only hope is for us humans to pull off a kind of a cultural revolution that will help us fight this evolutionary mismatch. What I wonder is, do you think that we can win? Can we, in fact, beat it back?
Well, we have to try. I think that we can collectively. We're doing this for tobacco, for example, which is another example of a cultural evolutionary trait, which we're having some success fighting. Think about all the arguments going on in the Capitol right now about health care. You know, if we just got people to eat less sugar and exercise, we wouldn't be having a debate about health care. I mean, my daughter, for example, goes to a school here in the Boston area, and there's almost no physical activity in the school, and that's unacceptable. We as citizens should just vote out all the bums who don't support physical activity in school and require proper physical education because it will help our kids. And we can do the same thing with misleading advertising for foods, maybe junk food taxes. We all need help to behave in our own best self-interest. And for that, I think we require collective action.
All right. Daniel Lieberman is the chair of the Department of Human Evolutionary Biology at Harvard University. He's got a new book out. It's called The Story of the Human Body, Evolution, Health, and Disease. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for having me.
And Carrie Goldberg, thank you for being here. Carrie is the co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Thanks as always, Carrie.
You're welcome, Lisa.
And you can find a link to the Common Health post on our website, radioboston.org.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.